We welcome everyone here for this Independence Weekend. It's a very important weekend as we kick off our new summer series called Freedom From. And the video is partly tied to that and also the fact that we are celebrating our freedom as a nation. And with that, today at NEC, we want to honor all of those who have served, are still serving in the military, who have been a part of protecting our borders and fighting for others' freedoms. Today we have a special coin for you that we want to give to you. So I'm going to ask all of you who are veterans, are still serving in the military, would you please stand? And our ushers want to give you one of these coins. Everyone who has served, would you thank them? And Colin's standing in the back. Someone needs to get one to him. And if you'll continue to stand until they get that to you. Would you all stand again? I want all of you to continue to stand that just those who have received a coin, they're going to represent everyone in the military who has served or still serving. And would you join me as we pray for our military? Listen, also for civilians who have fought for our freedom and died for our freedom along with military. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. But Father, there have been men and women who have battled on the fields of war to protect these borders. And Lord, they have also fought on the borders of other nations to protect their freedom. So Father, we thank them today. We pray for them today. And I ask that you bless them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your service. If you're a guest with us today for the first time, you just walked through the threshold of a very different service and a very different sermon today. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. It's a story that my wife, Rochelle, will affirm and, if need be, reconfirm some of the details that I'm going to share today. I am not going to go into all details and all this sordid darkness of it all. Those will be for other messages at a different time. But I'm going to tell you a story. It's an Ananias type of story. If you remember, God comes to Ananias and he tells Ananias, I need you to go to a man named Saul on a street called Straight, and I want you to lay hands on him. Anybody remember what Ananias said? Are you kidding me, God? That is the man who's killing people like me. And you want me to go do what? He can stay blind. But he has an encounter with God, and Ananias obeys the voice of God, and the rest is history concerning the Apostle Paul. Because one man stepped out of his comfort zone. I mean, like, way out of his comfort zone. You got to think about what was going on. Paul was on his way to not only arrest Christians, but kill them. Ananias gets a word from God to go talk to this crazy man. Lay hands on him. This guy that's a killer. This scary guy. Well, I'm going to share with you a story that is an Ananias story. And in part one of our summer series, Freedom From, I'm going to talk to you about freedom from deep darkness. Now, there's a verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, that reminds me of the story that I'm about to tell you every time I read it. Beginning in verse 43, it says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. The last state is worse than the first. Now let's go back to 1983. December 28th of 1983. The wind chill is 6 degrees. It's been sleeting. I'm at work. I've been transferred. I worked at Gerhard Owen. I was an engineering technical assistant at that time and an expediter. And I'm working in Alvareda in the oilfield industry. And I get a phone call from my wife, and she says, "We don't have any water." Now, my two little girls, Tiffany and Dia, and Rochelle had no water. So I am immediately angered, and I'm getting furious that I'm having to leave work and drive home and try to figure out how I'm going to fix the water line underneath our mobile home. Anybody ever lived in a mobile home? I arrive, and I was known for being either Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde, mostly Mr. Hyde, sometimes the doctor. And unfortunately for Rochelle, Mr. Hyde walked through the door, and he was a scary person. So Rochelle, in her sweetness and kindness that you can't get past, has a bowl of hot soup ready for me, thinking that's going to keep me warm out there. So I eat the soup. I layer up on with as many clothes as I can and put on my big thermal thing, and I go out there, crawl under that mobile home, laying in a puddle of water that's seeping through, and I'm not going to go all the details, but I heard the voice of God speak to me. And underneath that mobile home, on December the 28th, 1983, with the wind chilled at 6 degrees, I don't know, you know, that's what it was at the time, and sleeting, I give my life to Christ. Now, I come out from underneath that trailer, and I skip across the yard and up onto the porch. Being the man that I was, I stopped and looked around to make sure nobody saw me. I walked in the door, and all I told Rochelle was, "I'm going home." She thought, "Mr. Hyde is acting up." She said, "What?" And I said, "I'm going home." Tiffany was about 4 years old at the time, walked up. I saw her standing. She walked up about this far from me. She's looking up at me. Her mother was curling her hair. It was all in curls. Fortunately, Dia was a baby and asleep at the time. And she tugged on her mama's pant leg and said, "Mama, look at his eyes." And Rochelle knew immediately that I had been saved. She saw an immediate change. She says, "You mean you're going to heaven?" And I said, "Right, I'm going home." From that transformation moment, my gifts begin to surface very quickly. If you don't know me well, know this: I'm an all-in person. And so I was all in. But it is here that I want to pause for a moment and stress something that I have been stressing since I have been pastoring North Elevation Church. And that is that every person in this room needs to be mentored. You are never too old or too far or know too much to not be mentored. You should be being discipled. You need to put yourself in a position where somebody's probing you. Rochelle and I just spent time with one of our overseers so they could probe us. Now, there's a reason I am so strong about having a regular rhythm and routine of your devotional life. Because less than 6 months into my walk with God, I'm going to give you some very powerful words here, I allowed myself to stumble. I allowed it. We love to point fingers, right? Sure, there was people did things. There were circumstances outside of my control. But the bottom line was I had allowed myself to move from that moment of change that was so visible that people were really kind of marveled at the change, I mean the shift, to the point that less than 6 months later, I was in a deeper darkness than I'd ever been in my whole life. Due to a series of circumstances that had happened not only personally but on the job, even in the church. I had allowed myself to be hurt and wounded and offended. I'd allowed myself to be discouraged and broken. You hear the key word I'm saying? I allowed myself. And I traveled into a deeper, darker place than I'd ever been in my entire life. Now, here's what I did. I did like everybody else did. I pointed the fingers everywhere and to anyone and to everyone. Never taking the blame. It was always everybody else's fault. Why weren't they more spiritual? All these different things. And the reason that I am so strong on discipleship and mentorship, because that's what I was lacking. Now, let me bring you to where this ended up. A couple of months, 3 months later, in the heart of this darkness, I am out in the yard, weed eating. And where we were at that moment was our marriage was not going to make it. It was going to come to an end. And I had traveled into deep, deep places to the point of I was entertaining, meditating, thinking through suicide. Do we all understand how deep darkness I was in that moment? Well, how can that be? You had this glorious moment under the trailer. Wasn't Jesus' fault. Anybody with me? Wasn't Jesus' fault. I'm in this really, really deep, dark place. Now, prior to this, good, godly men in the church had tried to reach out to me. You got to remember, I was a scary person prior to the trailer. I was scarier after the trailer when this happened. And I sent more than one man. Sometimes they came out in threes and left in threes as quick as they could. Rochelle will tell you, they did. Not to come back again, telling all the other people, don't go out there. It's not worth it. I had people calling me on the phone. Phone calls stopped because they realized it wasn't worth it. I've reached this place of great darkness. And then there was an Ananias moment. Because you see, the enemy was trying to stop my destiny. So I'm out here weed eating in the yard. And I see this vehicle come around. We lived on 10th Street. We didn't live on Straight Street, but we lived on 10th Street in Joshua. And an Ananias was about to show up, totally unexpected. So I see this vehicle come around, and I recognize the vehicle. And I thought, he must be lost. That was the thought I had. What's he coming down my street for? He's probably lost. Because my mind was, that guy would never come talk to me in this condition. So the vehicle stops. Now you got to remember where I'm at. I know our marriage, Rochelle knows, our marriage is about to end. It's coming to an end. It's how dark this season is. And I'm wondering if I'm going to survive the darkness on a personal level. And this vehicle comes around, and this man gets out of the vehicle and comes walking up to me real quick with this look on his face. And I'm getting ready. Oh, am I getting ready. Here comes another one from the church. And he's not even smart enough to bring people to help him. And he's coming at me fast, walking quick. Takes out his billfold, starts opening it up, reaches down in a... His billfold still looks that way. Reaches down through all this stuff, pulls out this folded piece of paper, And the man said to me, I was saving this for someone else. He told me who. I can't remember now. I was thinking I was saving this to give to someone else. He said, but God told me to give this to you. Now, I don't know the backstory. I've never asked. But I've wondered, God, are you nuts? You want me to go do what? And take it to Corey? Are you kidding me? And he hands me this piece of paper, and I'm beginning to unfold it. I look up to kind of see what his reaction is. I'm unfolding it. He's already in his car. I mean, he just turned around and walked off. He did what God told him to do, and boom, he's gone. Got in his vehicle and drove by me. So with weed eater in hand, I put it up, and I read it. Now, give me some grace here, because I don't remember all the language in it, because I've been free for so long, okay? But it basically, give you an overview of what it said. It said that, because remember, my giftings had really surfaced very quickly. And this piece of paper said, you thought that the prophet's mantle would be this exciting, joyful journey, but you found it full of vipers and danger and struggles and pain. And it was the next words on the piece of paper that transformation began. And it said, but I have never left you or forsaken you. You are still called, and I am here. Call out to me. And the last words on it was, and everything will change. So I folded up the piece of paper, and I was a transformed person almost instantly. All the darkness began to lift. Now, I'm going to speak a word here to all of you. Do not disobey God when He tells you to do something. This man's act of obedience brought deliverance to my life. Anybody with me so far? I take the weed eater and I go straight to the garage. I got a lot of weed eating to do, so I take it to the garage. I go in the house. I go into the bathroom. You've heard me tell the stories about the commode I sat on trying to learn how to pray. Sitting on the edge of the bathtub so that if I fell asleep, I'd wake up the hard way. I go into this bathroom and I shut the door. And once again, I hear the voice of God. And I cried out to Him, and I have never looked back. Ever. Because this one man, who I know pretty well, I would say really well, this was a huge thing for them to even show up. I don't even want to know what they were going through before they got there. I had people asking me, like Rochelle did somebody come by and witness to you? Somebody give you a track? And I'm thinking, oh yeah, they crawled under that mobile home out here in the sleet and gave me a track. She asked me that question. After this thing happened, I had people say, well, who all showed up and how did the deliverance session go? I did. I said, well, it was a piece of paper. That's all I can tell you. Piece of paper delivered me. See, God spoke to Ananias, and the power and the anointing from the word of God to Ananias came to Paul, and Paul was set free, and his eyes were opened again. This man did what God told him to do, and the power of God came with him, and when he handed me the piece of paper, the power of God delivered me. Anybody with me? Through an act of obedience, okay? James Kevin Harris, would you look my way, please, sir? Thank you. Thank you. My wife thanks you. Tiffany and Dia, thank you. Daniel and Adrian, who wasn't even existing then, thank you. Because of that moment. My son-in-laws, my daughter-in-law, they thank you. My grandchildren, thank you. And when my great-grandchildren come, I'm going to tell them the story. And they'll thank you. I stand here today because you obey God. Thank you. And I'm here to tell you this truth. God is going to bless you. And I don't mean just bless you. He's going to give you every desire of your heart with overflowing reality. Because you, and I know you, that was not easy. That was way beyond what you would do. But NEC, you got to see the breadth of what I see is here because of that moment. Thank you. Now let me travel into the heart of that darkness. And now I'm going to ask you to open your hearts up because you're about to get mentored, discipled. I'm going to probe. And I hope you don't think you've reached a place where you can't be probed. Jack Hiles said this, failing is not a disgrace unless you make it the last chapter of your book. All I could see was that I had failed in my walk with God. I had failed once again. That was just one more failure on top of failure on top of failure on top of failure. Finally do something right and I can't even stay right. Failure. The Bible defines shame that I have studied and I penned what I have learned about the definition of shame throughout the Scriptures. Shame is the painful emotion caused by a consciousness of guilt or failure that brings a paralyzing conviction or belief that one is worthless. And in the shame of my failure, I felt more worthless than I'd ever felt in my whole life. I grew up with aunts and uncles that I would overhear them saying, "Corey will never amount to anything." I grew up hearing them saying, "Them Smithy boys, Corey and Roy, they'll never make it." My brother's a missionary in the Yucatan jungle. God, but God. Failure. And the shame. John 20, verse 19 always reminds me of what happened that day in that bathroom. On the evening of that day, verse 19, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. I am here to declare to you today, God wants to bring peace in your turmoil of shame." Shame comes in a lot of forms, and a lot of times it's failure. Always thinking we got to try to get above it all. I never wanted where I'm at today. I was just excited to be a Christian. I'm going to share some of my pen truths several this morning. Things I have learned, revelations I've received, and I'm going to talk to you about shame this morning. Pen truth. Shame is a powerful motivator to cause us to run away. I was running away. And in the running away, I ran into more darkness than I'd ever seen in my whole life. Shame makes you want to run away. I declare to you today, you will not run away. But you will press through and let Jesus be Jesus in your life. And somebody is being stirred right now to be an Ananias, and you better not disobey God. Because they may be a world changer. Another pen truth, shame is the master manipulator. Shame is the master manipulator. You see, I relived all of the evil and the darkness that I had caused and done. I relived all the meanness and the violence of my life in that time, but relived it on a level I'd never lived it before. Shame. Failure once again. Failure. Rochelle prayed all that time, finally receives what she's been praying for, and I wreck it all. Shame. Psalms 23:3 says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Spirit of the living God is in this place right now. The Holy Spirit is with you. Now I'm going to say a very important word. If you will let Him, He will restore your soul. Right here, right now. And you don't even have to get out of the seat. I had very mature, I guess you'd call Christians, came to me and said, well, you know, you probably need to come down to the altar. You know, we need to pray. I said, no. I got delivered in the bathroom with a piece of paper. By the power of God. Did I come to the altar a lot? Yeah, I did, because, man, I was serious about staying on track. Pen truth. Shame carries with it the sense that there is nothing one can do to purge its burdensome and toxic presence. I'm here to tell you the name of Jesus will set you free. A truth spoken to you or in written form that you read and receive will set you free. There was a few people asked me, said, well, what did James say? Not much. If you know James, that's James. Not much. But he sure went to that car in a hurry. It wasn't about what he said. Listen, it was about the obedience. Sometimes words are great, but sometimes you need to just be Jesus with skin on it. Pen truth. Shame says I must accept it, endure it, absorb it, and deny it. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't care what you have done. No, you don't. No, you don't. And it's time you receive that. No, you don't. And somebody says, yes, you do. Said, no, Pastor Corey said, I don't have to. And I'm not going to. And if you have a problem with that, I think I have his phone number if you want to call him. And have him call me. It'll be a scary moment for him. Shame will cause us to do things we never thought we would do. Shame will cause us to hurt others when we don't want to hurt them, but we hurt them. Shame will cause us to try to control people because we're afraid that they're going to cause something that's going to cause me to feel like I failed again. So I'm going to try to control the situation and change everything to fit what I think will keep me safe. Shame. But all you do is you just keep digging the hole. God set me free from deep darkness, but He set me free from something even worse. He set me free from shame that I had lived through my whole life. I was ashamed of being a smithy. I was ashamed to be identified with my parents. I was ashamed of so many things it would take a while to tell you everything. And then I have my encounter with Jesus under the mobile home, and then I allowed the enemy to penetrate my house, and I became worse. So don't ever come to me and say, I don't need discipleship or mentorship, because it'll get scary for you in a few moments after you tell me that. We all need it, and we will until Jesus comes back. Aren't we supposed to be learners? Growing can't grow unless you put yourself in a position to be mentored and discipleship. Part of that mentorship and discipleship is being here on Sunday mornings. Because you're receiving truth today. We're not going to hold back the truth. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to soften it because it's easier to swallow. That never helped me, but truth always helps me. Even when an overseer tells me something I don't want to hear. But it helps me. I had penned a final statement. You know me on my final statements. Normally they're a little longer. This was very short, but I added on to it last night, so I'm going to add something to it. It's really a question. Will you surrender to Jesus and see the end of shame? Let's get down to where it really matters. It's a choice. Right? It's a choice. God has spoken very, I'm telling you, very sovereignly to me about today. He's providing a door to freedom today. And it's a choice. This is what I added to my final statement as I sat before God last night. Jesus Christ's invitation is to rest in His grace and live in the freedom of His forgiveness and love. I'm going to do for you what God did for me, because the power of the Holy Spirit is in here right now. I see it moving on people. Don't push back at it. Just let Him move on you. And I'm going to do for you what God did for me. He brought James that day on that hot summer evening. And God provided a door of truth that set me free. No one else around. Didn't have to walk to an altar. Didn't have to stand up. Didn't have to raise my hand. Just went into the bathroom. Unfolded that once again. And did what it said at the back end of it. I cried out to God. I'm going to ask you, if you will, if you'll just separate yourself from everybody around you, even your own family members, for a moment. And if you need to close your eyes, do so. If you don't, I want you to begin to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. About where is there shame? Is it associated with failure or circumstances beyond your control? The list is long. But I'm asking you today to allow the Holy Spirit to probe and to reveal any shame that you're allowing to hold you down. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you said to somebody yesterday or did to somebody yesterday. Today is your day of deliverance and freedom. Father, you have never left anyone in this room, ever. Doesn't even matter where they're at. You haven't left them. You haven't forsaken them. You hadn't left me. You hadn't forsaken me. You were just trying to find an Ananias who would go talk to the guy that was scaring his family and scaring others. You were just looking for an Ananias. To bring a word. So Holy Spirit, right now, I ask that you reveal any shame any person has in this room right now. And make it so real to them that will not hold them anymore. In Jesus' name. And like me, just cry out to God right now. If you'll have the courage to just cry out to God. I don't know what you need to say. All I said to him was, God, help me. That's all I could get out of my mouth was, help me. And God delivered me. Cry out to God in this place right now. As the Holy Spirit and the presence of God is hovering from wall to wall, from the floor to the ceiling in this place right now, to bring freedom from shame. Most High God, I thank you. I thank you for the testimonies that are coming. For those who are now free, now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.